The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
All right. Hello. Welcome back. Good afternoon, podcast world. Welcome back to, let's just say this is one of the final episodes of my talk on faith, my series on faith. It's been a good series, a good season. We had a lot of good guests that brought their perspective of what faith is to them and how faith has affected their lives. Today, we're going to do something a little different. I have a guest out of, I'm going to butcher it. I think she's out of Atlanta. Am I right? Okay, she's out of Atlanta. And I met her from one of the podcasting networks that I'm a part of when I basically put out the initial ad, if you will, for people to join the show and talk about faith. So as I said before, faith is a practical thing. It is something that we obviously believe in. It's something that we, you know, we have from Christ. And that's just plain bottom line. So we're just going to, Ken and I are just going to talk practical faith and you know, different situations where our faith has been weak or strong, questionable or not. And, you know, just to kind of give the listener something else to hold on to when they struggle with their faith. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Ms. Ken. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, guys. Born and raised out here in Atlanta, recent graduate from Clark Atlanta University.
Congrats.
Yes. You know, I try to support these Black-owned businesses and now I'm in debt $40,000. Terrible. I see you almost spit out your juice. I'm gonna try not to do that too, because I know you got expensive equipment back there, because look how you dress, man. I'm like, oh, I'm talking to a millionaire. I need to make sure I got my shirt correct, you know. I need to come correct, you know, and everything. But no, and grew up in an evangelistic household, you know, so church was definitely the bloodline of my life. And no matter what you did, good or bad, you know, everything was a sin. And I'm like, I know this can't be the same God, you know, the good God that we're told we're serving. It's like, oh, well, he's not as great as I thought he was and stuff like that, you know. So I'm going back to school January to be on the road of receiving my PhD in child psychology. And the reason being is because a lot of our trauma stems from childhood. And the reason why you have so many, you know, mean adults out here is because they have not properly rooted that trauma out. So that's what I'm doing.
It's funny you say that, because I am a juvenile detective right now, law enforcement wise. And I actually see a lot of trauma, especially in the Black homes, mm-hmm. that start with the parents, you know?
Oh, but, my gosh. Yes.
That goes back to how their childhood was and how, you know, their parents' child, it goes back. Look, we can sit here and talk about the psychology of Black people all day long. We can sit here and blame every Tom, Dick, and Harry for the struggles of Black people. But, you know, look, mental health in the Black community, mental health in general, it's a mm-hmm. real thing. It's real.
No, it honestly is real. And it you know, has affected me in more ways than not, which is why, you know, I started doing comedy as well, you know, to try to soothe that pain. And, you know, I always had God to rely on, even though I would scurry away, you know. Eventually I came back to
right
him.
Right. So I can't ask you that question. That'd be rude if I asked you.
I'm halfway to 30.
Okay, cool. I'm past 30.
But, you know, I'm gonna keep it real with you. I feel like I'm born like in the late 90s, I wish I really was, you know, born between 1969 and 1982, because I feel like I don't know, but I feel like my life would have definitely been in a different space, a better place. I would have definitely been in my career. I would have definitely been able to have kids, you know, all that type of stuff. I feel like I would have definitely been complete and been like, okay, God, I really see you. Because right now it's a struggle, you know, when it comes to me having faith and not really realizing what am I, you know, really doing with my life, you know?
Right. Well, I get it. And again, faith is a struggle. It's not something you're going to wake up, oh, I'm so faithful today, I'm going to walk down faithful lane and just, you know, that's not life. That's not how we as humans function. And God knows that. And thank God he sent his son, you know, to deliver us from that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I want to ask you with this PhD looking into with the child psychology, are you wanting to open up your own practice?
Yes, I do. Actually, I want to open up a center and have, you know, multiple therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists in a big building, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20, 30, who knows, you know, and I want to have different people, you know, and I always have this thing to like actually have my own spot where it actually says my name type of stuff. Like I always wanted that because I feel like, yeah, okay, I'm a little bit, I'm there in a sense. But yeah, I want to be able to open that up. And I'm still trying to figure out, because I'm going to tell you this. When I graduated from Clark, it was with my bachelor's in mass communications, because the goal for me is to have my own radio and television show, you know. And somewhere in my mind, I thought to myself, oh, once I graduate, I'll, you know, randomly meet somebody. I say, hey, congratulations. Do you want like a spot at the radio show or whatever? I'm having opens like in my mind, because, you know, I'm a very optimistic person as well, you know, and that's why I started jumping on people's podcasts, you know. But also one thing I learned is like faith without works is dead as well, you know. So you have to still do the job, you know. You can't just say, oh God, I want you to send me a husband, and you don't go out to meet nobody. You expect them to break into the house? Like, you're all at homebody all the time.
I mean, have you watched those TikTok videos? If, you know, if I bust in your house, what you gonna do about it? You never saw those?
You know what? Hey, listen, as long as they got money and they attracted breaking my house, back to the story. but yeah, like, I think that's the thing for me personally. I think the thing is, and it took me a very long time to realize, like, you know, even though this might be your dream, this might not be the dream that God has for you as well. He might have you in a different place in life. And that is what I'm honestly afraid of, because I put in so much work over the course of time, over the course of years, and I'm not where I'm supposed to be at, you know? So hopefully, I hope I am going to end up having my own radio and television show. I hope I can be on the New York's bestsellers Times list, because I like to write as well. I hope that, you know, the dream of opening up my own practice, the building, all that in multiple locations, you know, that's, I'm trying to go global with it. I'll be in India learning Hindi, how to speak that language, you know, and stuff like that. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know. But again, I don't know where God really wants me to go. Sometimes I really am at the crossroads, especially when you do not have that support that you want from right. loved ones as well.
Oh, definitely. I feel your pain on that one. But I can tell you, back in 2019, when I launched my podcast, I've been wanting to start a podcast since 2008, right mm-hmm. after high school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I want to do it on theology, but I'm not sure. I want to do it on Christianity. I'm not sure it's going to take off, but maybe I'm gonna do it on photography or something like graphic design wise. I'll do something like that and see how that goes. Never took off. One day I saw this ad about Anchor, and with a leap of faith, I just launched the podcast.
Anchor's beautiful. I love it.
And here we are, what, 4 years later. And I took a break, mind you, took a break. And 4 years later, by the grace of God, I am at 10,000 downloads.
Woo! Let me put my little hand clap emoji.
you know, and I'm not sitting here bragging about the downloads that I got and everything, but
it's an accomplishment. You brag.
It shows you the faith, like by having faith. And like you said earlier, faith without works is dead. I just jumped out and did it. Okay. I started back up with school, and I'm graduating in May with an associate's in criminal justice.
Let me put that little mouse up right there.
Okay. I wasn't quite ready for school, but I just jumped in and did it, and I passed. You know, I passed this last semester with a 3.0. You know, Amen. So sometimes you just have to trust God and just take that leap of faith and do it. You know, you talked about doing a radio station. You know, if you open up your own practice, you already have a good platform because you can launch a podcast before you even get to the radio. You can launch a podcast on, you know, something dealing with, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, I don't know, black psychology or something.
And actually I got a podcast already. I started mine in 2019 as well.
Oh, wow. What is yours called again?
The Kendra Crump Show. And I'm going to tell you what my podcast is. Okay.
All right.
And if anybody listens to it, y'all going to be like thinking, what did I listen to? My podcast is nothing but therapy for me. What I do is I have a segment called What Would You Like to Ban? B-A-N. For example, I want to ban people who park over the line. Okay. And so I sit here, I ban people. I actually say names. Like, I have banned podcasters who have wasted my time. And I know you're going to be thinking like, Kendra, why the hell are you doing that? I'm going to tell you why. Because if they're going to do it to me, Brandon, they're going to do it to you as well. Because they do not care and they're going to waste your time. I ban men who get in my DMs knowing that they're married. Okay. I ban them and I call them out. Ladies, hey, there's this guy. All right, just let you know. Oh, shoot, you know about them, like how they have don'tdatemgirl.com. You better hope your picture ain't up on there. Okay, I have them on my pod. So on my pod, and I talk about, it's never a dull moment in my life. Like I had the FBI show up in my house. This is a true, honest to God story. The FBI showed up in my house, and it was a Faith, and this is going to sound so crazy. Faith played a part in that. And so I talked about my experience with that. And I'll tell you guys a quick rundown on what happened, because I know people are like, Kendra, what, are you a fugitive? No, I don't want to listen. Brandon's like, what did I get myself into? What happened was, I had this idea in my mind. Okay, still to this day, I don't know if it came from God. I have asked other people who are in a very great relationship with God and everything else, like outstanding relationship. And so what happened was, I had a vision one day, and I kept saying, my issue that I have is, I'm an interviewer as well. I try to interview multiple entertainers. The problem is, these people are not going. I had an entertainer who was on Def Comedy Jam, who said that the only way I can come on his show is if I either A, sleep with him, B, pay him, or C, be somebody. And I was like, why? Wow. We live in a Me Too movement. You don't care about, but you know what? He's telling the truth though. A lot of people don't realize, a lot of folks are not going to want to deal with you unless you're doing one of the three, right? And so I thought to myself, how can I end up getting somebody? How do I get my name out there? How do I get myself out there so I can not have to go through that realm of being a sellout, okay? Because I don't want to wake up one day 50, 60 years later and realize I really sold out, all because I wanted to become famous. Like, fame is a drug, man. I don't want to become famous. I just want to be well known, and there's a difference. So with all that being said, and I know also we're also taught in the church, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will put evil thoughts in your mind to do something. The thought that I came in my mind for months, and I don't know if anybody else has experienced this, but oftentimes God will give us an idea, we don't act upon it, and months later we see our idea out there on a billboard, we see it on television. That was mine. Well, God gave it to you. Okay. So had this idea. I said, let me write notable inmates. We talking Larry Hoover, Suge Knight, Wayne Williams, and he is notable in Atlanta. The Menendez brothers, all these people. One person I came across, did not know who he was. Zacharias Moussari, which is, I don't know if you're a conspiracy theorist or not, but he was part of 9/11. Right? Never knew who Zacharias Moussari was. I was just on MA.com and I was looking up Big Meech, and then I clicked on Zacharias. I'm like, let me go on Wikipedia. Okay. All right, Zach. Because in my mind, I'm like, bro, if he's a terrorist, which he's supposed to be this horrible person, why is this information out there on the web where you can contact him? Right? Okay. I wrote Zacharias a letter. I wrote actually everybody a letter. I wrote Zacharias a letter. Now, Suge, you can actually contact him through JPay. I think he's the safest one. He still needs to respond back. And I think he listens to this podcast. So Suge Knight, if you're listening, you need to respond back. Back to the story. So I wrote Zacharias, and I was about to write him again, but the FBI showed up at my house and nobody knows where I live. I'm off the grid. And I'm like, oh, you're the man. And they laugh. So here's the thing, right? I made the FBI laugh. I gave them a whole comedy writ, sit down when they like had to, go like to their like special downtown area location. And they just wanted to make sure I wasn't down with 9/11. And they wanted to make sure I wasn't trying to do anything that was terrorist-like. But then I thought to myself, it's okay to sit here and you can write murderers, you can write rapists, people who rob people for a living, but it's not okay to write a terrorist. But isn't a terrorist the same person as a murderer? But hey, what do I know, right? But you know, again, that's a whole nother subject. But they just told me that he will never receive your letters. Do not try to write him. I understand you're trying to make it out there, you know, but this is not, he is not the way, because you will not get a chance to, because I was thinking big, Brandon. I was thinking that I can go and perform and do a comedy set at the Maximum State Pen that they were at. You know, that's what I was thinking, because I seen Monique do it, but I think she was at a women's, but maybe it was medium level. I don't know. I've seen entertain like different reporters go to these murderer type places. But again, they just said when it comes to federal people like that, you will not be able to ever perform for them. That's a no go. You know, you can't do it. And I said, OK, now I'm on the watch list forever, I think. So, but it's okay. But like I said, to me, I kept thinking so much. I know it's a lot. It's crazy. But it's like, to me, I kept thinking to myself that this had to be from God, because again, I wasn't doing nothing bad. I'm not going to try to break them out. Okay. I was going to try to get some money from them, because I'm like, yeah, look, y'all got money. Okay. I'm poor out here. All right. So if you hear some gunshots in the background, I'm just in my Section 8 neighborhood trying to make it out of here. Okay. Like that's really probably the most I was going to do. Figure. And that's who I am. I like to know, who were you before you decided to do this? Because you were a regular person. You just had an idea. You had a thought. You were hanging around the wrong group of people. What were you trying to do? And I let them know that, you know? And so, but yeah, like I said, to me, it was a faith thing where I was like, okay, if I go after this person, any one of these people, because if I'm able to get Larry Hoover, then hey, my career is going to skyrocket. If I can get Suge Knight, the Menendez brothers, anybody else out there, you know, like my career, that's what I'm thinking. Because like I said, Sean Combs ain't responding back to my messages. You know, Ludacris, one of my favorite rappers, he ain't responding back. So like I said, if these people don't respond back, why can't I go to the inmates ain't doing nothing. They on lockdown 23 hours out the day. They gonna want some type of company, you know. Now when they try to get freaky with me, I'm like, sir, aren't you married? Okay, don't you have like four wives? Respect your marriage, okay? But like I said, that's what I was thinking. But, and I still to this day, I really still do not know. Did God tell me to do that? Because if he did, he tells you to do something for a reason, because there is a bigger and better plan. You know, you read the word, you read different scriptures, different stories. But what happened was my mother was really ostracized from me. My mom was upset, angry with me, livid. Because I did this. And I'm like, Mom, I wasn't trying to do nothing bad. It's like, now it's like, I'm against the world. And I'm like, God, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. Cause this was on my brain for months. It was just replaying in my mind. And I said, I really thought thoroughly on it. And I was optimistic. I was going to be like, oh, I'm featured on a Shade Room. Now I got 300,000 followers that aren't bots, you know? So, I mean, again, my faith has led me to being on the watch list. Don't be like me.
Well, I'll say. All right, I won't.
I mean, like, you know what? You gotta take the good. Well, here's the thing, man. You know what? When I was in the cubicle, right? I thought I always, like I said, I watched like a lot of different like documentaries and prison movies and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that they're gonna feed me some food. You know, I get a tour of the place. I don't know. Like I thought, but they didn't give me. I didn't get a chance to use the restroom. They treat me like I was a terrorist, and I'm like, bro, can I get some food? Can I get some water? What can I get around here? But I made them laugh.
A cell.
I made them laugh. That was it. Like that's not good enough.
Well, I'll say this. And I don't know what God was telling you or how everything transpired. Uh-huh. But if you take a look at the Bible, Jesus was a well-known individual. Okay. You said it earlier as a difference between being famous and well-known. Well, yeah. Jesus was well-known. The Pharisees were famous, if you will. You know, they were one of the strictest sects of Judaism. Mm-hmm. And they didn't like Jesus, you know, and this is a well-known fella. He didn't do nothing wrong, but just come and spread the gospel, the love, that's you know, true. His love for humanity. And, you know, I don't know what this is leading to as far as, you know, you go and, you know, you being on a faithful watch list for the rest of your life. But just that's a good question.
Faithful. I know you got 30,000 listeners. I need anybody out there, prayer warrior, because if you can answer this, not we will be good. Because like, you know what, and you know what's so crazy, and I guess like when I was talking to them, I'm like, well, can you guys remove my student loans? They said no. And I'm like, can you remove a ticket that I just received? No. And I'm like, what are y'all good for? Okay. What is y'all's purpose? I mean, I want to say more, but I knew you weren't going to be talking to me right now, except it was going to be through via Zoom in prison. But in my mind, it's like, I really felt like Daniel in the lion's den at this point, you know, I don't know. I just felt like now, to keep it real with you, I'm now afraid if God tells me to do something again, which again, I don't know. I felt like that really was God. You know, sometimes when I feel like it's not God, it is. And when it's not, when it is, you know, and then vice versa, you know what I'm trying to say? I'm getting tongue-tied.
So let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Whenever you receive a message from mm-hmm. what you think God is, do you pray on it or you just act on it? And I'm getting
this. No. So the times where it really is him speaking, I don't do anything because I'm like, God, because I feel like God puts me on do not disturb, because there are times where I'm coming to him about certain things and he just ignores me. I'll give you a prime example. I got a crush on rapper TheGame and Nelly. Okay. Nelly, I got a crush on him now because he's a free man. So I think, I don't know, but he ain't in that public relationship no more. So I'm like, okay, I know their accounts are ran by people on social media, but I know for a fact, okay, they can just randomly come across you at some point. It happens all the time. So I'm like, God, I would like to meet them and hang out with them. And again, God has me on do not disturb about that. Okay. Because there's other stuff I want to do with them as well. That's really unholy. But is it really unholy if we're in marital bed? Back to the story. So again, to answer your question, going back to it, I don't pray on it, because the things where I have prayed on it, God has not answered, you know, or it takes too long. And there have been times where I have really, in the times in the past, where I have gone to other people like psychics and mediums because I was trying to get an answer because God was not doing what I felt like he was supposed to do.
Cut it out. I'm about to look something up and I'm about to share something with you. And I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, if you don't mind.
I love how you just came out real quick. I said, oh my goodness. I said, he comes prepared. I said, as soon as you say one word he already has it before, I'm like, oh my goodness, what's the next word I can say that he'll have next?
Let's see. Let me look it up.
You know, when you wear a suit and tie, well, look, when you got a tie on, you come prepared now.
Let's see.
And I know you're not supposed to contact any of those people, you know, at all. Let me tell you how bad it was. I went to church on a Sunday, and then an hour later, I went to go to the psychic. Had an appointment already set.
Well, I mean, we also had Saul did that too. Saul consulted with a medium.
He woke up Solomon, I believe. He's like, why are you waking me up from my slumber? I'm dead.
It was one of the prophets, I think it was. I can't remember who, but yeah. So I'm trying to find, there's a Bible verse that talks about one of the prophets. Was it Micah or was it Habakkuk? But one of the prophets, they always ask for a sign. Like God would tell them, hey, you know, go and do this. And then like, well, Lord, if we're going to beat I can't remember who it was. It's going to drive me crazy. If we're to beat these people, show me a sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God's faithful enough to show them a sign and they just don't get it. All right, Lord, since you got the dude on the rug wet, just give me one more sign. If you're going to be with us as we fight these people, let the rug be dry and let the grass be full of dew. And God answers that prayer. Now, I'm not saying, you know, God's going to do that now because he gave us his son. But what I am going to encourage you is have faith. And if you feel God is telling you something, you pray on it. And look, if you have to ask God to give you some kind of sign, you know, do it, because the devil may disguise himself as your conscience that mm-hmm. you think is God, and it may be leading you to something that's destructive or something that's going to tear you down. Okay. But also remember, because of your faith, God doesn't use, God uses all the bad things that happen for his good and your good too. So I tend not to move either. Look, I'm stubborn. God says, go preach to, you know, this particular person. And I'm like, right. Not going to happen. It's the first thing I say. And then 6 months later, what am I doing? Yeah, you know, but if you believe in God, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I said I wasn't going to do this, and you're doing it. You know, so if God called you to it, he'll lead you through it. You just have to be very careful with, you know, how you approach things. Like, definitely don't go talk to another psychic because they don't know nothing.
No, I was going to say, no, I would not do that. Like, I am, those people are fake. They can just like the palm reading, like, you know what's so crazy? They'll be like, oh, I'm psychic. I'll say, okay, well, tell me this, that, and well, no, I have to bring my cards, and I gotta do, why you gotta do all that? Why you gotta bring all the cards and all that type of mess? Don't do that. Don't, like, if you really about that, like, you can let me know. So if you said, I got a psychic joke for you. One time I knocked on a psychic's door, she said, who is it? So I left. Just saying, like, they are not real, the palm readers, all those people, they gotta bring out a deck of cards, tarot cards, all that mess. It just looks crazy. Like, you seen the movie Ghost. You seen the movie Ghost. That's one of my favorite movies, man.
Remember Sister Cleo?
Yeah. Here's the thing though. I know of Sister Cleo, but I gotta like really know Sister Cleo. But no, looking at when it came with Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost, I was like, the way she was moving all around and thing was inside her, I'm like, bro, this is spooky, man. Y'all are just off the wall with this.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
I finally got a chance to see it over the summer when I was on vacation. So this is a really great movie and everything else like that, you know. But like I said, I'm not going to talk to the mediums. I'm not going to talk to the psychics. I just realized that, because I'm going to tell you what it was. I went to them. It was three things that I went to them about. And none of those, two of those things I kind of knew already about, you know, but the third thing, like the person said, oh, because I wanted to be a pharmacy, work in the pharmacy or whatever. And I was trying to figure out, when am I going to work for it? And she said, oh, it's going to be this year. And this year passed, came and went, and it never happened. I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, Groupon, it was like $30 off Groupon.
Bless your heart.
I know. Bless my heart indeed, child. It was bad. That to me was just bad. The fact, because like I said, I oftentimes when God is not responding fast enough, I just want to take it into my own hands and get what I want. Like, I went to a medium because, and this is a transparency moment, to this day, I've never been in a real relationship. I am trying to not be the situationship queen no more. I'm giving that crown to somebody else, because that's a nonprofit organization type job. I just get a Wendy's. I go half on half on the Wendy's 4 for $4. I'm not even good for a real meal. Can we book it up to Chick-fil-A, please, people? And so with that being said, I had issues with men approaching me, and these men look like a squirrel with a trash bag wrapped around their face. Okay. These men are broke. And the height deficiency and no conversation. it's like, no, priorities are out of whack. They teeth look like the New York state line. They smoke cigarettes and black and milds. Okay. And they text they, that, this, and them, and still broke the middle fingers and pictures. And these are old geezers too. Okay. They like saying jive turkey. It's a range of just a mess. Right. And so I went to this guy who's a medium, and he told me that, he said that, cause the issue was, I said, I want someone in my age group who has a car, or somebody a little bit older or so, who has a car, a job, because I have that, okay? I need this, someone who's educated, who's extremely attractive. It could be like street smarts education and or book smarts, okay? I'm cool with whatever, okay? And, you know, all that type of stuff. I don't want his teeth to have a gap the size of a hallway, okay? I don't want that gap, love. Back to the story. So with that being said, he said, okay. And I was about to go and go to him about it. He told me to bring something and he was going to make it happen. And the day I was going to do it, he never answered his phone. And I remember the next day I had to check myself into a mental hospital, but I was just upset. And I told a friend of mine and he told me, if you would have done that, then your bloodline would have been cursed for generations. And I'm like, maybe my bloodline is cursed because that's why I get the same grotesque men I have now. Maybe I'm trying to uncurse it, you know? So, but no, with that being said, Brandon, this is what, and I'm still, that was like 3 years ago. I'm still dealing with this now. And so it to me is, it's not like I'm about to go to another medium or anything else like that. I'll let the cards play out. But at the same time, it just is, it to me is annoying because of the fact that I am not where, and I have faith that, you know, I wrote down, written down my list and have given it to God. But I had two people tell me the reason why God has not sent me my man. Person A had, and I don't really speak to either one of these people anymore. Person A had said, God says that when you seek him more than you want to seek a relationship, then he will send you that person. And option B, person B said to me, when you are when God ends up working on you and working on them, then that's when he will bring you guys together. And I'm like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? Like work. I mean, everybody's going to be a work in progress. So I mean, let's think about it. None of us are perfect. We're all working progress. So exactly what do you mean that I need to be worked on? What is exactly is wrong with me? I feel like once you become a certain age, you are who you are, in my opinion. That's what I feel like.
Can I add some wisdom to that?
Go ahead. Come on. I need it for my elders. Go ahead now.
Oh, come on now. All right. So what I will say is, and you already know this. I already know you know this. We do need to seek Christ more. Okay. We have to seek him more. He is our foundation. He is the fiber of our being. He is everything we are. Okay. If we have a relationship that is tight knit with God and we're close, and I'm not saying like Jesus is my buddy type thing. I'm saying like you wake up every morning, you're praying, you're in your word, you know, you're doing your best to try to live your, I don't want to sound like Joel Osteen. You're trying your best to live a Christian filled life. Okay. And you're trying to honor God as much as you can. And God sees that, he'll honor that. But what if you're not supposed to be married right now? What if you're not supposed to find the right person right now? Do you try to force it or do you wait for God? Now, for example, when it comes to dating, there's nothing wrong with dating people. You know, now, however, if you date them, if you know it's not going to be a marriage, you get out of it. Okay. That's plain and simple. But what if God says, all right, Ken, I'm saving you for something else. I'm saving you for something better. You know, he may want you to finish up your PhD and, you know, open up your practice and then you'll get the person that he wants, you know, with you. Now I look at it like this, cause I'm single myself. And I dated somebody before for 4 months and it did not end up very well. Okay. And here's why. I'm in a different thinking bracket. I'm in a different processing bracket and my faith was at a different level. Okay. And I assumed that I can teach this person my faith or show them my faith and teach them what I believe. And they'll, you know, there'll be a work in progress. I know this, but they'll be okay with, you know, some of the changes coming at them because I was okay with some of the changes that were coming at me. But I'm not a racist person. My ex was, you know, she'd make racial comments and it just did not sit well with me. Mm. All right. Yeah. And it was horrible. Like I work with a bunch of white people. I go to church with a bunch of white people. I'm not saying certain white people don't do certain things, but not all white people do what you're saying they do. And I cannot, in my right mind, fix myself to believe every white person's horrible. Okay.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
that was my beef with her. And it ended up leading to us breaking up. There's some other things that happened, but that was one of the main things because, you know, she hated Donald Trump. I'm fine with that. That whatever. Okay. You can hate Donald Trump. I'm okay with that. You could hate Joe Biden. I'm fine with that too. But when you claim to be Christian, and I know what the word says that you should pray for your leaders and you should pray for your enemies in a sense, You don't curse them. You don't, you know, sit there and say horrible things about them until you pray for them. You know, look, trust me, Donald Trump did some things I could not stand, but I prayed for the man. Okay, because he was the leader of our country at the time. And the people that were in office, I prayed for them because they were the, and my ex didn't see the parallel to that and why I would do such a thing. She took it as, I'm letting white folks do whatever they want. I can't control people. That it's not my job to control what a white person does or what a black person does. But it's my job to control what I do because I know who I am in Christ and whose I am in Christ and where my faith lies in Christ. So person A and person B may not have given you a solid response to what you were looking for. But I will tell you this, stop seeking your answers from man and seek it from the word of God. That's what I can tell
you. Amen. No, that's true. Hey, listen, I think when my, honestly believe that when my dreams, a lot of my dreams happen, then yeah, I will end up making them. But I just have an issue, making it into a relationship. I just hope he, again, I guess also something I'm going to keep it real with you as well. I don't want to be, I do not want nobody to be like, well, Kendra, as long as you happy, you ain't going as long as you happy me. I want to be like, does he have a daddy? What his daddy looking like? Girl, where you find him? That's what I want, doggone it. Because I'm just keeping it real.
Kendra, you're not going to get it. I'm sorry. Yeah. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm not. I mean this with all due respect. And as your brother in the faith, I'm going to say it. You can curse me out after. Don't seek the worldly things.
I don't have energy to curse folks.
Well, look, don't seek the worldly things. Seek the things of God. Start with that. Okay. What does God want for my life? What does God want me to do? Okay. Yes, I worry about my family and how they should operate and how they should function. But at the same time, what does God want Brandon Queen to do in this life? Okay. Or today, or with this person that's having a bad day, what does God want me to do with this person that's having a bad day? Do I walk up and give him a hug? Do I tell him to suck it up? Do I just pray for him in silence and then let him work it out? Or like, what does God want me to do? Seek the things of God only and first, and then everything else that, because look, God knows what you need. Okay. You said to your person A and person B that you were fine. You didn't need, you know, X, Y, Z, but God knows what Kendra Crump needs. Okay, so if you seek the things of God, he's going to honor the things that you need, not what you want, what you need. Now, yeah, it's probably cool to have people saying, oh, what does daddy look like? Or, you know, what does he do for? Yeah, that's all cool and everything. But what does God want Kendra Crump to do? What does God want of Kendra? Look at that first.
Oh, no, of course. But here's my question, though. How they say that, you know, once you write down your list, and I've had a lot of different women and men say that the person they're with literally ended up being everything that they wanted on their list. So why has that happened for them? And you don't think it might happen for me?
I have a list too. Okay. I could tell you right now, when dating my ex, only two of those things were crossed off. And the main thing was not even touched. All right. I have like a list of five things. Okay. Number one is I want a God-fearing woman that loves the Lord and puts him first above me. Okay, that's number one. Number two, a go-getter, a person that has goals and has morals. I'm probably lumping a bunch of things together, but a person that has goals and morals and wants a family life, not one of these fast girls that just want a relationship. Number three, a person that can take care of themselves. And I'm not saying I want a needy girl, or girls have to be needy, but an independent woman. Number four, you know, looks. Yeah, you know, she has to at least take care of herself and be, you know, presentable. And number five, how she respects me. Okay, those are the five things that I look for. And like I said, two of them were only crossed off, and one of them being the main one was not even touched. It was talked about, but I didn't see it in the way she lived her life. Okay, so your list, you can have a list. There's nothing wrong with having a list. But God may only say, okay, Kendra, I want to give you number one and number four on your list. And then as you two go on this, in this relationship, you're going to get number four and number two, or number three and number two. Okay. Or three and one, however it may be. You know, you're not going to get everything all at one time. God may just say, wait, or God may say no right now. You know, a lot of, look, let's be honest. And this is for me and you. When we ask God for something and God gives us the no, we pout and we try to go get it on our own. Okay. And we don't realize that God is protecting us and he's saying no for a reason, or he's saying wait for a reason. You know, but again, how strong is your faith to be able to wait or to be able to trust God? And I'm not saying your faith is weak. This is just a general question for the listeners. You know, when you're faced with stuff like this, how strong is your faith in order to do X, Y, Z, or to wait on God? You know, God's timing, God is not bound to time, to the human time, to 24 hours. God is not bound to the mass of this universe. God is not bound to anything, to this universe, because he is outside of this universe. He is the one who created it. So his timing is completely different from ours. And we are impatient people. Let's be honest. We're impatient people. But when God says, all right, Kendra, I'm going to bless you with these things now, we got to wait on God. Plain and simple. And look, and the way the world's going, we, you ain't going to, I'll be nice. We both struggling. Okay.
That's why I just wish I was a cat, man. Cat life. I think I got to worry about this relating relationships, dating, going to work, getting sick. You ain't got to worry about that, man. They it's their free life. Look at how free cats are, man.
Yeah, well.
If reincarnation was a real thing, I hope I would go and live life as a cat, because, man.
But here's the thing, and I'm not saying
it was a real thing.
I'm not saying God don't love cats. But what is one of God's most prized possessions, if you will?
Humans.
Yeah.
Then why do we go through so much as a human being?
Because it all starts back with Adam and Eve with the original fall. That is what brought original sin into the world, is the fall of Adam and Eve. That's why we have Jesus Christ, the second Adam, to replace or to fix what the first Adam didn't do or couldn't do. All right. So you have, when you take a look at the question you just asked, because a lot of people ask that question. How come we struggle with X, Y, Z? How come we do this? How come we do that? Well, we just celebrated Christmas. All right. And I don't know if you understand the season of Advent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Advent is like a 4-week process. It talks about hope, love, joy, and peace. Okay. And I set it out of order, but it's those four things. You know, God saw a void. God saw how broken humanity was. Okay. God also knew that this was going to happen at the beginning of time. God knew this was going to happen back in Genesis 1:1, okay? But he still allows certain things to happen to show his love for us, that he sent his son to take on human flesh, to become one of us, to walk among us, to say, to show us, look, I feel and I see what y'all are going through, but this is the way. This is how we're going to live. This is how we should live our lives. You know, we should worship God. We should understand that Jesus Christ came to be Emmanuel, God with us, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to struggle from now until the end of time. But the joy is, you and I know that when we die, we are chosen by God. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be around the throne, singing holy, 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 palm branches in our hands, all different tongues, nations, tribes, what have you, will be standing before the throne, worshiping God together. That is the hope that we have, the joy we have, the faith that we have, to know that in the future, or when our fateful day comes, if you will, we're going to be in that spot, worshiping God together. Now, look, can you lust after, you know, wanting a husband? Yeah, you can. Can that be a sin? Yes, it can. But guess what? We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. We're all being worked on. My pastor has this saying. He always says, not yet, the already, but not yet. Mm-hmm. And we're still being worked on type deal. That's going to be us until the day we're not going to be perfect until the day we cross over.
That's it.
So that's how I look at it. And I could be wrong. As a person of faith, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to, you know, probably throw a needle at me for saying what I just said, but
it's okay.
It is what, like, that's how I see it. We're not going to be made perfect until the day we close our eyes in death and we transition to the next life. You know, so my goal for you, Kendra, is to focus on what God wants for your life at this time. That's my prayer for you. So now I got a question for you.
Let's do it. Well, go ahead.
So since we're on a topic of faith, and let's be, you've been honest the whole time, so I know you're going to be honest. How has your faith made you stronger?
I think at times it really has not. It just depends. Because the things that I am wanting in life have not yet come. So it wavers. It wavers a lot.
I like that. And it's supposed to waver. It's going to waver. All right. So what are some of the verses you rely on whenever you're having one of these wavering moments with your faith?
I would say Mark 11, verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive and you shall have it. That's really, it's like a bunch of faith verses, but that's the main one right there that I know by heart.
Okay. I'm going to share one with you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5-7 says, I'm going to paraphrase it. Lean not on your own understandings. Actually, I'm going to read it. I'm going to go pull it up because I
lean not on that own understanding, but in all the ways, trust the Lord. Acknowledge him
and he would direct your path.
Yes.
Right. My next one is, Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, situation by prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That verse for me over the past year, with everything going on, us being anxious about this coronavirus and, you know, whatever other issues we're dealing with as a nation, that verse has been concrete for me. Because it's like, okay, I worry about it, and that's a good thing to kind of be in a loop about what's going on, but it's not something I have to be anxious about. And I also don't have to worry about it again, because I know where I am in Christ. There's another verse that says, no one can pluck you from the hand of God. Nobody, not even Satan. Mm-hmm. Okay. He may lead you down the wrong path, I'm talking about myself too. We may be stupid enough to jump on that train and take that left turn when we shouldn't, but God always provides a way for us to come back on the right track. He did that by sending his son down the cross for us. He provided a way for us to come back to him, you know, mm-hmm. And it's all done through faith. And the real question is, how strong is your faith?
It's not as strong, honestly. Well, because it's like the things that I like, okay, for example, I wanted to go to Clark Atlanta University. I made it happen. Clark is not a hard school to get in. You just have to have like a 2.5 GPA and then they let you in. Okay, that's not hard, you know, but it's like the stuff that I really wanted. Like, okay, I have listened to people say God had gifted me this promise and gifted me this dream. He gifted it to me and said it was going to happen. And God hasn't gifted me anything. He actually hasn't shown me that something was going to end up happening. Like I'm by myself. I'm on my own.
You're not.
I'll tell you this. I had a dream one day and I tweeted about it. I had a dream that I had 1 million followers with a verified check mark on Instagram. And I had a dream. Within the same dream, I had a dream. I was in a auditorium, like where they do like ballets, not ballets, operas, one of those.
Okay.
Had a dream. I was there and the camera was on and I was doing a comedy show. Like this is like around the time where like nobody is allowed because we're all stuck at home, but everybody's watching me, you know, performing comedy. I had those two dreams. Well, I have a dream every time I go to sleep. Like I had a dream few weeks back that, like I said, I had a dream a few weeks back. I was on a yacht with Nelly and some people I didn't know. We was in a relationship. Okay. And then the next day I had a dream that, you know, and Nelly told me he loved me. It was like a more descriptive dream than that. I had to tell you that off camera. Anybody who wants to know, come on, holler me in my DMs. But the next day I had a dream. I was pregnant, like at 1 o'clock, like PM, I was pregnant. I was 4 months pregnant. And I was like, oh, this pregnancy is life. What women be complaining about? They don't like being pregnant, right? And then like 8 hours later, my belly's just growing, right? It just keeps growing every hour. And then I had given birth and I saw the baby and it disappeared. What happened to my baby, Brandon? Who took my baby? Why did it disappear? So like I said, this is a true dream though, okay? So with all that being said, it's like God has not given me no type of promise. God has not told me anything about how my life is going to go. I'm just at this point, I'm trying to force my life to go the way that I feel like I want to go.
I got a question. Okay. Did you pray about going to Clark?
No, I just wanted to go. I'm going to tell you why I wanted to go to Clark. Because I was watching the Hillman University, A Different World. I was watching Stomp the Yard and other college movies, Black universities. And I thought I was going to find me a boo thing. And then I found me another sis. So no, I did not go pray about it. I just went.
Okay. All right. So we have free will to do things and move about and, you know, in good cause. But what did I say earlier? God uses what you consider bad for good. All right. Mm-hmm. And also keep this in mind. Nothing happens outside of the will of God. Nothing. Okay. What I will say is if you start praying for what God wants you to do and he doesn't answer you at that moment, keep doing what you're doing. Okay. That's something else my pastor tells me too. All right. So like, for example, you say you want to go into your doctorate degree and become a child psychiatrist. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's say you pray about that and God reveals to you and all the doors start opening up to where you can actually go and do this doctoral program. All right. And while you're in this doctoral program, you're trying to figure out how you're going to open up your own practice. And let's say God isn't answering your prayers. He's got you on a standby or do not disturb. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you would continue doing what you're doing, which is at that time, continue your education and you wait for the next step. All right. You know, what I also hate is when people say God doesn't give you more than you can bear. Yes, he does. and I say that because if he didn't, then there would be no need for God. You wouldn't experience or feel his love. Okay. So pray to see where God wants you to go. And if he doesn't answer you, keep doing what you're doing until he talks to you, until he gives you that vision of what he wants you to do. And trust me, it's going to be evident on what he wants you to do. Now, we already know we're supposed to preach the gospel. We already know that with everybody we come in contact with. That's a given. All right. How you do it is what God is going to like. That's the career he's going to put you in. All right. Mm-hmm. So just think about it like that. Try some of those practices. I sound like a medium now. You know, what I'm saying is try your faith. Try trusting in God more. Try praying more to see where he wants you to go. And look, I'm not judging you on what's going on with your life now. This whole podcast is for us to dialogue and to help each other. You know, I want to help you grow in your faith. That is the whole foundation of my podcast, is to help people grow in their faith. You know, and look, I'm going to thank you for being honest with us, with telling us.
Of course, I got nothing to lie about. Yeah. Come on now.
Some of these struggles you have. And look, some of these people out there might have the same struggle. You know, they might sit there and say, you know, she's trying to find somebody. I'm having the same issue. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm doing all these things and God's not answering. Look, people might be in the same boat. But what I'm going to tell you is to trust God and lean not on your own understanding. If you are not supposed to date somebody at this time, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying don't go out there and date people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you date people, you start praying about it. Lord, is this the one? If it's not the one, give me a sign. And guess what? He'll let you know quickly. Abort. Move on. You know, so you have to guard your heart. You have to protect yourself. You know, we're not fighting flesh and blood. Okay. There's this demonic fight going on that we don't see, that the angels are handling for us, and that Jesus is handling for us on the spiritual realm. Okay. We just have to be faithful and trust the fact that when Jesus came and walked the face of this earth, he understood, he knew, and he felt our pain and our struggle. And he took that to the cross with him to make another way for us to come back to God. All right. You're not far gone. You're not cast to the wolves. You're not thrown out. You're not going to become a cat. I had to throw that in there. but you're definitely going to have struggles. Nobody is not going to have a struggle. The only difference is we're not called to walk alone in our faith. We're called to walk together. So at times when you feel alone, you're not alone. You know, that is the whole beauty of Christianity, is if you're struggling with something, and I'm not saying your mom's not Christian, so don't take this the wrong way. Let's say you can't go to your mom. Okay. And your mom is Christian, but you can't go to your mom because you feel your mom is either judgmental or too harsh on you. Then guess what? If you have a church family, you can find somebody in the church to go talk to. You can, you know, pick up somebody that, you know, is also in the faith and talk to them about it. But first, seek the counsel of Christ before you go to these other people. Always seek the counsel of Christ, because he's the one that's, he is what your faith is rooted in. Okay. We all day long will lose faith in people all day long, but we do lose faith in God. But our faith is more concrete in who God is and what God's done for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So just think about that too. I know I'm putting a lot on you right now and I'm giving you a lot.
It's okay. It's okay. That's why I can just come back and listen to this episode at any point, whenever, when it drops. I'm like, oh, let me just go listen to it again.
Yeah. And it should be dropping probably this week, actually.
Yeah. All right, that works.
Or if my other guy comes on, I'll put you last, because I actually like the fact that our content is just talking about faith. It's going to be a good way to end the series. So you might
save the best for last. That's fine with me.
I'll take that. My last question for you. All right. When your faith is rocky and wavery, what do you do?
Nothing. I honestly don't do anything. I just think about me being in a happier place in my life. That's what I try to do. You know, okay. I always try to go to an optimism type level, because there ain't no point in moping about something.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let me ask you this. And I'll say that was the last question. So when you say you do nothing, I'm going to take it as you probably don't pray about it at that time. Okay, which is okay.
Because I realize that prayer doesn't, I think because I'm in a more realistic standpoint in my life with certain things, I learned that you can pray about something all day long and then you might not get an answer. So I try to do other things in my life to try to, me not to get upset, because I feel like if I'm praying and nothing's happening and I'm quiet and I'm listening to a still small voice, that there is one, nothing is happening. So I just say, okay, it is what it is.
Okay. All things work together for those who trust in the Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:28. It's one of the popular verses. All right. I'm not going to tell you to stop praying. I'm going to tell you to pray more. Okay. And I'm going to tell you to wait. And the problem is, and I'm talking to myself when I say this, the problem is we get in our head and we have a lot of junk in there and we don't ever shut up and let God talk to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or we don't let God show us the way on how we're supposed to do things. All right. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, all right, God, what you want me to do? How you want me to handle this person? And then we turn around and go do something and muck it all up instead of waiting to see how God wants us to handle. Okay. So I probably shouldn't use the word shut up, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Sometimes we just have to shut up and wait. Plain and simple.
Okay.
We are given a faith, and that faith is in Jesus Christ. And we have to hold on to that faith. We have to hope in that. All right. And because of that hope, we will then start to see, all right, Christ has done X, Y, Z. And I'm telling you this because I've been there, done that. All right. I've experienced some of the stuff that you dealt with. Not to the extreme, but I've dealt with some of the stuff you talked about. All right. And look, as humans, we're desperate to have a partner, or we're desperate to have people in our lives. All right. You have people in your life, and I can see that. You know, but right now you're probably desperate to have a life partner. And that's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you got to have your faith rooted in Christ, and you go to him first. You love him more. You pray to him more. You seek Christ more. All right. And then once you build that relationship with Christ, and I hope this is positive for you, once you build that relationship with Christ, then Christ is going to say, all right, you're ready for the next step in your life. You're ready to handle a relationship. You're ready to handle having a kid. You're ready. You know, God will set you up for the things that he wants to build you up for. Again, nothing happens outside of his will, and all things work together for those who trust and love the Lord. And I butchered that verse, but that's pretty much what it says. Okay. So take your faith to the next level, pray more, seek Christ more, and just love on Christ. Love yourself, love on Christ, and everything else will happen. That's what I have for you.
All right. There it is. That's how you end it out.
I'm gonna end it out a little bit different. I'm gonna end it out different.
I want to give a hand clap on that right there.
All right. Is there anything else you want to ask me or anything?
No, thank you so much for just the words of wisdom and speaking just life. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. It's my job. It's what I'm called to do. You know, I'm not going to allow one sister in the faith to fall away or to be, you know, stuck in that mire, because I'm supposed to be there to help pull you out. And that's my job. That's the reason for me podcasting, is mm-hmm. to help people understand, what is this thing with faith? What is this thing with prayer? What is this thing with the beauty of the local church? You know, all of those topics that I talked about over the past 4 years, you know, I'm trying to help people understand that. And that's my goal. But what I want to do before I close this out officially, I want you to tell us how the audience can find your podcast and find you on social media.
Yes, my Instagram is The Kendra Crump Show. So the as in the, K-Y-N as in Nancy, D-R-A, C-R-U, M as in Mary, P's and Paul Show, S-H-O-W. My YouTube is Kendra Crump, K-Y-N-D-R-A, space C-R-U-M. P and my podcast, The Kendra Crump Show, same as my Instagram, is found on just if you just type it in on Google, The Kendra Crump Show podcast, you'll find it wherever Google places. I'm like, oh, a new place. Okay.
Yeah, they place them. Anchor does a lot with when it comes to getting the episodes out. I got to give it to them. They do a good job with that. So, but what I want to do is I want to close this out in prayer, if you don't mind. I want to pray for you.
Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm okay. Let's do it.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the life of Miss Kendra. I want to ask that you would continue to let your presence be known, be shown, and be felt, that she would know that you're with her and she is not in this world alone. Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself more to her and calm her spirit, calm her mind, so that she can hear you speaking to her. And Lord, I ask that you would strengthen and bless her relationships, Lord. If she is meant to find her prince and charming, Lord, you would let it be. But Lord, we always know that it's your will first. Let your will be done. And once your will is done, so be it. And we're not going to contest it. We're just going to go with it. And Lord, I ask that you would continue to help her grow in her faith. Let her strengthen her foundation in who Christ is and who she is. Let her know that she is made in the Imago Dei, the image of the living God. And Father, I pray all of these things in your holy and precious name. And I ask that you would just continue to be with myself and the rest of our listeners, Lord. Bless their week. Bless their upcoming lives. Give them the strength. Show them the faith. Let their faith be strengthened. And I ask all these things in your holy and precious name. And God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Well, that, Miss Kendra, that is the sign off.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.